Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. In the beginning, it was a game. Balls were kicked. Weekends filled. Time passed. But over time, it became more than just a game. Passion grew. Legends were born. Heroes created. Over a century later, it's in our blood. Rugby League. Now. Welcome. This is Triple M NRL.
And lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. This is my favourite time of the week as we look ahead 3 hours just sitting around talking about footy with some of the champions of the game. Wendell Saylor is with us, Ryan Girdler. Hoops, we'll hear from later. He's at the races today, where I'm here to tell you Winx is going to be beaten. There you go. I've just said it. I don't want to ruin Australia's day.
Oh, please.
I don't want to ruin Australia's day.
And there's no such thing as the Easter Bunny, Tony.
No.
So is it if Winx wins today, doesn't he tie Black Caviar?
25.
Wow.
25 consecutive wins.
Beautiful.
But we'll get to that with Hoops a little bit later on. But first, I guess the big news is Wendell Saylor rejoins us. How are you, big man?
Yeah, good, mate. It's been a good couple of weeks. Played a bit of rugby last week in Hong Kong. Yeah, so I've missed you guys, actually. So I can't believe Hoops is not here, but it's always good to see you, Girds, and obviously yourself, Squazzy.
So what did you do over there?
Well, the classic Wallabies. Mm-hmm. We got back together, and we did it last year. We did it again. We did a couple of luncheons over there, a couple of clinics at the Australian International School. So some of the old school Wallabies get to play, not many minutes.
No.
There was myself, Morgan Tuanui, Bill Young, Justin Harrison came over. So you do a bit of off-field stuff too, but you get to play with a few of the younger guys too. And let me tell you, my body still feels it because we actually play. You play on a synthetic pitch over there. It's actually, so it's not as hard as the one we have here. Mm-hmm. But as you know, Hong Kong, there's not that much land. So you actually play at Hong Kong Football Club in the middle there. So first
is
2 days.
Is a synthetic little bit of grass burn going on there?
Oh, heaps. I took skin off. You know what? When you get a bit older, you know this, Gertz. You're trying really hard not to sort of get tackled and then sort of offload the ball a bit earlier than that. So, that was fun. But we didn't even make the finals in the trophy or the plate. Mm-hmm. So there's some teams who really stack their teams up, like the Fijians, and that gets the Fijian Sevens players in it that don't make the actual Hong Kong Sevens. And it's 10. So over the years, Jonas played in it, George Gregan, Christian Cullen, all these guys. It was good, but we got together, had a good time, but then we got to watch the Sevens rugby over the weekend as well. So it was a good 7 days there, but now I'm back to work.
Did you hurt anybody?
Well, actually, I've never been known to make too many tackles, but we play against the East Africans, and there's some of them who look like me. They're big and they're strong, but then you've got a couple of the real quick ones that go out wide, and one of them swept down the blind side. I'll try and find the vision of it. The boys sent it to me. As I was standing there, it was a three-card trick. I thought, this bloke's going to embarrass me, like he's quicker than me. So I just stood me ground. I was about to launch. As I was about to launch, I missile for him, and he slid straight into my shoulder, and I got him a bit high, and I got sent off for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
but I picked him up, so yeah. I'll try and find it. So that was about the only thing, and but it was a good week.
The East Africans, any of them stayed on rather than going home like they have at the Commonwealth Games. So I do notice that the Rwandan squash player is still missing in action. Didn't bother turning up for it. Because why wouldn't you go and get back to Rwanda with your squash racket? I mean, what's the future?
You're on the Gold Coast.
You're on the Gold Coast.
Oh, mate, that's
plenty
a place.
Of options up
there.
Stacks. There's like quite a number of them.
How many now,
missing?
Tony?
Cameroon.
There's a dozen.
Yeah. Mm.
But I can understand that. I remember when I used to be at the Broncos and Wayne used to give us a couple of days off. I used to go to the Gold Coast and I didn't want to go back to Brisbane. Such a good place.
Exactly. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been really good, Tane. How's your week been?
Yeah, no, it's terrific.
How are you after last night's performance?
Oh,
you were
yes.
a little bit down in the mouth
yes.
this morning. I mean, your side got up six in a row.
Six in a row.
40-20, and you weren't convinced with their performance last night?
No, I thought it was one of the least convincing performances of the year so
Why?
Far. Well, only a couple of reasons. It was a catastrophe for the Sharks in terms of injuries, and we're going to speak with Wade Graham in a little while, who is one of those incredibly, important players who went off. Andrew Fifita was almost owning that Dragons forward pack in the first half, and then he went off as well. I just got the sense for them that once they got in front a little bit, it was almost like, oh, we're going to get 50 rather than working towards it. There was a, don't get me wrong, very, very happy. Some amazing things happened in that game.
Yep.
Some amazing performances. But it was just one of those games where I don't think it was quite as convincing as that scoreline actually says.
But I think sometimes you got to find ways to win. And I think at 28-20, the Dragons there, there was something in the right hand corner there where with Valentine Holmes, he nearly scores there. There was a touch there. If that was 28-24, they might be in trouble, but they still found a way to kick the
off Josh Dugan's finger.
That's right.
Right now, as we look at that Tyre Power scoreboard, there has been some other results. As we know, the Storm too good for the Knights, 40-14. And what a privilege. We are joined right here, right now, by Storm Supercoach Craig Bellamy. G'day, mate.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. Congratulations on, first up on 400 last week, but I guess even better for you feeling it is the win in game 401.
Yeah, without a doubt. It was a little bit disappointing last week. Against the Tigers, they played really well, and just go down by a point was obviously pretty disappointing, but we found a way to hang on to the ball a bit more last night, and a few things happened for us, so it was good.
When a few things happen for you, someone like Cam Smith, who's obviously he's a statement player for you, and he made a statement last night, not just from dummy half, but taking it first receiver. He and Billy really put their imprint onto the game, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Those two guys especially have been wonderful players for so long, and they've been probably our most consistent players this year. Probably haven't been at their top form, but I thought, after the World Cup and that, they had a little bit of preparation, so I think they're just starting to find, their freak now, and, that was tremendous for us last night.
Hey, Billy Aikerts, Gers, congratulations on the 400 and last night's performance. It was interesting, we spoke to Cam and Billy after the game, and errors have been a real issue for the side early on in the season, and it's funny, both of them said that we wanted to come out and play more footy last night, and as opposed to sort of, consolidating and trying to worry about ball control.
Yeah, that's what you're saying there, Gerge. It was, we sort of made a real point with the coaches first, and then, we spoke to the leaders early in the week, and, we've obviously been, I suppose, mentioning our error rate, in the first few weeks. So we just decided this week we weren't going to talk about error rates, and we wanted to just play a little bit more, open footy or, a few more passes in our game. And we only had a couple of sessions this week after, it was a short turnaround and a long trip last week. So we only had a couple of sessions, but, implemented what we wanted to do really well. And like I say, we didn't really talk too much about our error rate this week, and we just wanted to concentrate on, just being a little bit more, not so much adventurous, but just find a few more passes in our game.
What do you think of Riley Jacks came in and solid performance last night?
Yeah, it's a good word to describe him. I think he played 12 games last year, Riley, and he's played two games for us this year, and that's what he is. He's a really solid player, but I think he was a little bit more than solid last night, to be quite honest. I thought he done a tremendous job. He played really straight with the footy. He defended well. And you just know, pretty much each week what you're going to get from him. And it was a really good performance from him last night. But as I said after the game as well, with young Brody, he's probably struggled the last couple of weeks, but he struggled on the back of us not completing our sets or, turned over too much footy, whereas last night, Riley played on the back of us, completing our sets and, getting up to about 80%. So, as I said, Riley's a little bit more experienced than Brody at the moment, but, I know that, Brady is a good player and, we'll be using him again.
Trouble is every time I hear Craig Riley Jack's name, I think of a nightclub in Chapel Street. Well, we're going around to Riley Jack's.
Belzer, it's Del, mate. Hey, just wondering,
hey,
mate.
Del.
How you going, mate? Sam Cassiano. Mate, how do you know, you bring some of these players from other clubs that no one wants and you think, their best is gone, but you have a way to bring these players back. With Sam Cassiano, when you signed him, did you know what you wanted to do and what you had to do?
Yeah, we obviously, wanted him to lose a bit of weight, as, everyone would sort of imagine. But, we wanted him to do a few things that he probably hasn't been used to doing, but we also wanted him to play to his strengths as well. And he had a pretty ordinary pre-season as far as the amount of work he got through out on the field. He had a few injuries and So he probably wasn't where, you know, he wanted to be and we want him to be at the start of the season. But, you know, we've sort of taken our time with him. And, you know, last night I thought he was tremendous. But he just needs to get a little bit more consistent at, you know, doing the little things that we, you know, we see as really important in a game of footy, you know, for a player like him. But at the same time, just making sure, you know, he's using his size really well. But he's also a very skillful man, and you know, with the footy, so you know, we want him to express himself in that way as well.
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, mate, I couldn't. I was laughing to myself. You know, when Vunivalu made that break, and then he sort of double pumped to Josh Adokar. If you give it to the Fox, mate, it's all over. Can I ask, what did you say to him after the game?
I didn't say too much to him. Obviously, he knew probably, you know, well, you know, Sully knew that, yeah, you know, he just needed to give it to him, you know, and. So we just done a little bit of practice on that the week after, and actually won't make the same mistake again.
Billy Ake, Tony mentioned in his opening question the fact that, you know, obviously Billy stepped up last night, Cameron also, but they seem to play a little bit of a different role. Is the performance they put in last night a sustainable thing for them throughout the year, given the fact that with representatives to sort of, you know, take Cameron out of dummy half, like, well, the way that he played last night was a different role for him, and then obviously, you know, bringing Billy up, being so much more involved in the play, is that a thing that they can do weekly, do you think, moving forward?
Yeah, I can't see why not. You know, there'll probably be, you know, different games depending on, you know, a little bit of what we're doing, but also on what the opposition do, you know, defensively. So, you know, we just pick and choose our times there. But, you know, I think, you know, Billy's involvement and, you know, probably not so much Cameron, but certainly Billy last night, his involvement was a lot more than it has been, you know, in our first five rounds. But I think that's sort of come on, again, the back of a limited preparation, you know, physically after the World Cup, that those guys only had about 2 weeks training before, you know, the World Club Challenge. And also, you know, obviously with Cooper not being there and you know, a couple of new players into our team, just we didn't really have a pre-season where we could work on, you know, combinations, you know, with halves and, you know, with Toru Harris gone as well, that down our left-hand side. So, you know, just over the last few weeks, obviously, we've been able to work, you know, a lot harder and a lot more consistently at the combinations. And as I said, you know, we, at times, you know, what they did last night, Billy and Cameron, we'll be looking for exactly that. But other times we'll be looking for them to play a little bit different roles as well. So, as I said, depending on what we're doing and how we want to do it, but also a little bit on how the opposition defend.
We're talking to Craig Bellamy. You mentioned Cooper Cronk's name there. Your club has been a family which you've been such a driving force for so long now, and he's been part of that. Have you watched with interest, sadness, happiness with what's been going with him playing with the Roosters?
I haven't seen a whole heap of it, Tony, to be quite honest, but... yeah, well, I think I've seen, you know, a bit of the Newcastle game, and, you know, he was tremendous that night. I've seen about half an hour of the game on Thursday night. So, you know, again, we hold, you know, and certainly me personally and, you know, everybody at the club, you know, we just wish all the best for Cooper. He was just such a wonderful player, but just such a wonderful, you know, guy around our club too. He's you know, like the other two, he's a wonderful coach as well, and he doesn't, you know, try and hide things from other players or, you know, that he think might take his place or whatever. You know, he's very open, and they're just real team people, and I imagine, you know, Cooper's exactly the same, you know, with the Roosters. So yeah, we just want to see Cooper be happy, and you know, living in Sydney with Tari, he's obviously that, and we just want to see him, you know, playing good footy, because as I said, you know, he'll always be a special part of us, and yeah, for what he done for us over that 15 years is, you know, will always be remembered.
Yeah, well, what I love about Cooper Cronk, mate, you can walk into an Origin dressing room, you know, even though you're an old has-been, he'll walk up and just come up and says, mate, how you going? But even the other night, I'm not sure if you saw it, Belzer, but some of the Roosters fans were booing Jake Friend. He wasn't playing his best game and they wanted young Victor Radley on. And then even after the game, Emma Lawrence alluded to it, and he actually said, Cooper goes, look, I don't think the Roosters fans were booing Jake Friend, because he sticks his head where I wouldn't. You know, he sort of brought that positive sort of mindset. And even Blake Ferguson, I think he ran out first run. He went over there and said, mate, it's okay, mate, we'll go again. He's just such a positive, you know, influence on a team.
Yeah, again, he just, you know, obviously is aware of everyone's mood and, you know, just what probably needs to be said at a certain time, you know, to a team as a group, but also to individuals. And, you know, he's remarkable how he picks the right time to say the right thing.
Also, what he does on the field in relation to, you know, effort and energy, Bellyache. I mean, you know, the kick chase and all those little aspects of his game, I guess they would be the things that at the moment, in a way, you guys just need to adapt to, because we all see the game management and the kick try assists and all the brilliance of Cooper, but I'd imagine you especially understand how much work and the effort and the energy that he puts into every performance.
Yeah, like I know how many times, you know, we've had tries scored against us, you know, 60 or 70 metre tries, and, you know, Cooper's the last guy in the picture, you know, for us chasing. And, you know, he's always done that. He's always been tremendous at just, you know, doing those effort areas, being, you know, your number one in those effort areas. And, you know, besides being obviously a skillful player and a very smart player, he's just such a competitor. So, yeah, we knew that we were going to miss him, you know, in certain ways this year, and there's probably been a couple of things that have come up that we probably didn't realise how we were going to miss him, you know. But like I say, you know, we're working really hard on that. We have been, you know, since we've been back in training. But, you know, with our young halves now, you know, being, you know, having Billy and Cameron back, you know, late, that wasn't ideal. But now, you know, they're really getting the rewards out of, you know, having, you know, the wise heads of Cameron and Billy around. And as I said, when Cooper was there, he was exactly the same thing. You know, those guys were, I can't really put in words the influence they had on our club and the time that they'd been there.
Craig, we all know the intensity with which you enjoy the game because the cameras find you at every moment they possibly can. What about you and your future? Are you still loving it? Where are you with the game and your decision about where you sit?
I've always still loved the game. Sometimes it's a bit like any other job. Sometimes, you know, you really love what you're doing. Other times you wish you were somewhere else on a desert island, you know. So I don't think coach is any different to the other professions. But, I really enjoy, you know, being around the young guys and, you know, I really enjoy still working with Cameron and Billy and guys like Jess Bromwich and, you know, Will Chambers. You know, they've been around for so long. They're just like sort of sons to me, I suppose. So, and I really get on well with them, you know, away from footy as well. And, you know, I think I got good relationships with the younger guys as well. So I still really enjoy, you know, that part of it. As I said, you know, like any other job, sometimes there's some frustrating things to it, but, you know, to have good times, you've got to have a few little down times as well.
You must enjoy those times when Billy takes a quick tap. You get a pretty good result out of those these days, Billy.
Well, we did last night. The week before as well.
And he's good at doing that, isn't he, Billy? He's such a competitor, but he just brings you in that into his game, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, again, I think, yeah, you're right, Bill. You know, he's just like a real competitor. But at the same time, you know, with the intensity he chases those kicks, you know, people are really aware of it and how quick he is and how well he reads it. So they, you know, it's not all, you know, Billy all the time. No. You know, they do get in his road and they make it a bit hard for him. So something, you know. So I think most of the times the penalties are warranted, but it's because of, you know, he's want and desire to get after it as hard as he can, and he usually times it really well. So you know, the opposition know that if he does get through there, well, you know, he's going to be a good chance of doing something good for the Storm.
I think the Knights got held up four or five times over the line last night, and Billy was there on every occasion. Yeah. So you know,
I think again, over the years, I don't think anyone, you know, people know the game well, you know what a good, great attacking player he is, but. You know, he's one of all the defensive fullbacks as well, you know, just covering in that line, but also getting our defensive line organised, which, you know, is a big job for fullbacks now. And, you know, he does that as well as anyone.
I saw him first sound the greatest athlete, and I just didn't realise how much of a competitor he was. Even if he wasn't good at something, he'd compete to the end. So that's why he finished first and I finished last.
Yeah, I'm glad you told me that, Bill. That surprised me.
Craig Bellamy, what an absolute joy and an honour to have a chat with you this afternoon. Thanks so much for lending us your time. Next time we'll come and have a drink with you at Riley Jack's.
I can hardly wait, Tony. Thanks a lot, boys.
Good work, Grandad.
Yeah, mate. What a great man, mate, Craig.
Fittest Grandad in the world.
He is sensational, and they got the job done for a week late. His 401st game, 40-14 on that.
It's a great banner, though. Did you see the banner, Tone? Yeah. The big congratulations, Bellyache, on 400 and the little in the corner plus one.
Love it. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Triple M Aussie Rock, as Triple M rocks the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. James Hooper not with us this afternoon, but he
Where's Hoops? Where is Hoops?
Okay, I'm happy for anyone to have some time off after my last couple of weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks off you've had. Right. So no, he's got a very important job. I think he's had a Bucks.
Oh, is he another Bucks show, is he?
I think that's where he is.
Another Bucks show. I didn't get invited.
Yeah, including his.
Mate, it's a Buckathon for him.
We are going to speak to Hoops, though, from the races, just to get a lowdown on what all the latest is. Winx, of course, as we said, going for the 25th.
You think she'll win today, Tone?
No, she's losing. I understand that she
is
will
that right?
lose.
Who's got her?
Ambitious, I think.
Okay.
There you go. I'm going to say, look, there's a hot, Happy Clapper has been, you know, notoriously second to Winx, but had a win
Happy
last...
Happy Clapper's like the Jake Friend, say, of the racing world, yeah?
Exactly right.
He's always behind Cameron Smith.
There's some good horses in that race anyway. We'll chat to Hoops in a little while. Wade Graham will join us next. Let's just go back in a bit more detail, look at that Tyre Power scoreboard, 40-20. That was the score, the Dragons over the Sharkies. The Sharkies and Wade will... talk us through the injury woes. They lost a lot of numbers in terms of games played, with Paul Gallen going off, Andrew Fifita, who was absolutely smashing it up down the middle. He went off after about 35 minutes. Wendell, he was having one of those games like that State of Origin he played, that game where he really nailed it. He was absolutely on fire. If he'd stayed on, that result could have been very different.
Yeah, well, look, Fifita was taking the Dragons' foot pack on by himself, you know. Yeah. I know they had some players there. Like, I think when Gal got injured too, he was trying to put a little kick in, which he doesn't usually do. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but Fifita was at his best, you know. He was into everything, you know. Even off the kickoff there. Mate, they put the kick up and he wasn't even looking at the ball and he catches it. Yeah. Mate, for a guy who's, you know, 120 kilos, you know, 6'4", he makes things happen out there. He went head-to-head with Tyson Frizzell at one stage. So they needed him to stay out there. After that, they sort of just lost that momentum, even though they tried hard, the Sharks. But the Dragons just found so many ways to take them apart, you know, whether it was through the middle, on the edge. Cameron McGuinness scored an unbelievable try where I never knew he was that quick. Everyone thought, you know, everyone's thinking Damien Cook. Yeah. But just the way that they're playing at the moment, the Dragons, I've never seen the Dragons. I've been, you know, I suppose I went there in 2008. I'd never seen them play with, you know, I suppose.
Such abandon?
No, yeah, but yeah, just the width and they could change the game plan up so many times, which Paul McGregor, I've always known he's a good coach, but I just think the personnel he's got now makes it a lot easier. You know, James Graham just does his job up the middle, but those two halves have complemented each other. I just thought maybe you got two guys who one might have a, you know, bit of an ego and the other one might just think, you know, you're coming in on big money, but they just seem to work together really well.
I was a little bit concerned, that maybe the strike power and the outside backs wouldn't be there this year, but then Ewan Aitken has actually stood up, and Matt Dufty is ridiculous. Yeah. What pace. That try he scored, just sort of going backwards and forwards like the under 12s until he found the gap and was too quick and through he went. It was amazing to watch.
Well, look, I think Matt Duffy, everyone knows how quick he was. He played like Australian schoolboys and all that sort of stuff, and he played Oztag, you know, Australian Oztag and Oztag and all that sort of stuff. Everyone knows how fast he is. Everyone thought, is he going to be big enough or tough enough? Let me tell you, he's big enough and tough enough, but they had to build him up over the last couple of years. Paul McGregor and the coaching staff wanting to build up, and my young bloke who obviously in and around there, he's not surprised. You know, he went there last night and he goes, mate, you know, so they're such a, they all work together well, but mate, the tries there, that's the confidence he's getting off his forwards. Can I tell you, I don't think I've seen a forward pack at the Dragons like that since 2009, 2010. Yeah, you know, people actually fear them now. Tarek Sims is playing his best football. I know they talk about DeBellin. Paul Vaughan, who I think is coming on later on, mate, they're just setting such a good standard. But the Dragons have been here before, haven't they, Gerds?
Yeah, well, the last couple of years, but they've just got a different attitude this year, Tone, haven't they? And they're scoring points, 40 again last night against a pretty good defensive outfit. I think the couple of seasons where they've been leading the premiership at the halfway mark, they're averaging like 13 or 14 points a game, and they were just defending their way, and that can only get you so far, you know. But The thing is with Dufty, I think he was such an unknown quantity at the start of the year. We saw a little bit of him last year. So Wendell and obviously everyone down south sort of saw him coming through and knew how fast he was. But I don't think a lot of people in the NRL did until sort of last night. We saw glimpses, I think, against the Gold Coast a few weeks ago of him in open space. But I think last night everyone sort of stood up and took notice. I thought his second try was even more impressive than his first one. The acceleration to get through absolutely no space at all, and then to put that move on Matt Moylan and leave him standing at speed like that was unbelievable. I haven't seen too many. There were some moments in that game last night. I caught bits of it because I was driving home and after calling the Melbourne game. There was a couple of moments in that game that were just mind-blowing. That tackle Ewan Aiken performed on Edric Lee with about, 2 minutes to go when the game was well and truly over. You just don't see those sort of plays. You know, it was uncanny. So I just like the way that at the moment you spoke about their forwards, Wendell. You know, they know when to run, they know when to pass. And even last night when things weren't going their way, this is the most impressive thing about the Dragons' form so far this season. I've seen them win so many different ways. And again, last night they showed me that they can win when all things aren't going their way. They can rely on individuals. We've seen last week they relied on, their goal line defence when they didn't have a lot of football against a South Sydney side who we saw how well they can play on Thursday night. And then, the week before against the Gold Coast Titans, they just put on an absolute clinic with their attack as a team.
Yep.
So there's three different ways in the last 3 weeks. Paul McGregor must just be, beside himself at the moment.
And that forward pack is great. Each of them is willing to put the ball under their arm and power, but each of them also has a pass in them, which makes every defence kind of question.
Well, I think when your bench comes on and you're not losing it, at least an Armour, he comes on and you've got these players who you didn't think they had a pass in them. I think one stage, they went from right to left, like just two or three passes and everyone's ready.
Yep.
Like, when a team is confident, when everyone's ready. Jason Nightingale's throwing 25-metre passes, they're exciting to watch. But even that Cameron McGinnis, like, when he scored that try, that's a team that's just confident in everything they're doing, Like, there wasn't much doing there, and Matt Moylan's no slouch, but even for him to score that try and go through there, I know he spent 10 minutes in the sin bin, and they even cope with that. I know they cost them some points.
I just love the fact this year, Tony, and we've sort of been moving there over the last couple of seasons, that the sides that are just going out and playing on the ball and playing every play, and Wendell spoke about how, whenever they go to line their forwards, everyone's expecting the football. They're not setting up, working it to one side and then trying to get that big play on the back.
Yep.
They've got Dufty on the ball, I'm watching the way the Roosters are playing, and we'll get into it later on. You see Tedesco, he's always out in the corridors on the sidelines waiting for the ball to come back on that big play and missing two or three plays of being involved in the action when they're trying to get to a certain part of the field. And I just thought the Warriors are playing exactly the same way. South Sydney the other night, they played exactly the same way, and I just think it's so good for the game. And it's so good for the spectators to watch this style of rugby league that's now, being the dominant style and having the most success.
And it's good for New South Wales too, because there's only one Queenslander sort of in that team, Ben Hunt, but there's a lot of New South Wales sort of options there too.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, those ones? I mean, a lot of those boys are putting their hands up for representative honours this year. There's no doubt about it. And certainly that number nine. Now, the talk is that if Tommy Trbojevic gets picked at the one, that Abby Carousel will go to the nine. But, gee, Damien Cook, his pace, and then
this
Cam
is
McGinnis.
So healthy for New South Wales, Tony. To have these guys pushing each other now, it's like the fight. You got three or four, and don't forget Pete. He's the incumbent. He'll be up there going, well, we're winning games. Hang on,
that's right.
Put my hand up. So you're going to have these guys just for the next, 6 weeks, just pushing each other every week, and everyone's going to be talking about who's going to get it.
That's
just going to drive
we're in
success.
You guys are the favourites again.
Another man, of course, who will always be in the reckoning is Wade Graham, and he joins us next Saturday, Triple M NRL. Indeed, and you can hear every second of Triple M footy wherever you are. Just download the Triple M NRL app. Do it now. In fact, do it before 1:30, because if you're listening in Sydney, that's how you'll have to continue to listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Other listeners will, of course, be hearing the AFL call from then, but that Triple M NRL app is the way to go. Right now, time for this man. Yes.
Did he tear his hamstring or did he lose his voice? I don't know. He's meant to be sitting here with us.
He was meant to be sitting. I think he might have been going for a scan. We are, of course, talking about Wade Graham from the Sharkies. G'day, buddy.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Hey, Wade.
Yeah, not too bad. Okay, you got to put your doctor's hat on first because we've got a few people in the surgery. We wanted to get a rundown on not just you, of course. There's Gal, there's Andrew Fafita, there's Louis. Where are we all at?
We're all in the process, mate. So I'm just heading up to the scan at 2 o'clock and then see the physios after, and the boys will be all around those times too. So I'm not feeling too bad. I'm thinking we get a positive result from the scan and hopefully be close to playing next week.
Wait, I was talking to Luke Lewis this morning. I rang him just to see how he was doing. He reckons he heard the doctor over say that there's good news and bad news with your injury. The good news is you've got a hamstring. The bad news is you've torn it. Apparently, you never knew.
No, I just felt a strain a bit on the kickoff of the second half. They did a short kickoff, and I took off to take some cover. I just felt a grab a bit in the back of the hammy, and it didn't feel overly bad, but just. You know, at that stage of the game, it was sort of in the balance, and hamstrings can go from not so bad to really bad really quickly. So I was got put on ice there a bit last night. So, but hopefully, I can have a good couple of days here and bounce back, and I'll be a good chance for next week.
Wade O'Dell, mate, the local derbies are always hard, but they've got you twice this year, mate. It's musting a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. There's always feeling in the local derbies, but so St George to get both from this year is very disappointing for our fans. But, we're just coming for a tough patch at the moment. A bit inconsistent. Obviously, the injuries, combinations just aren't quite there yet. So we just got to find someone in the team to try and turn this tide.
That said, though, the performance in the first half was pretty good, and you did have that injury toll, which obviously shook it all up for the second half. It was a competitive game, Andrew Fafita. The forward pack was going well against the Dragons.
Yeah, that's sort of just been the trademark of our year so far, just that inconsistency, and it's down to a lot of things. Obviously, new combinations, the injuries last night didn't help, and then it's just that tough patch you need to keep fighting through. The boys play plenty of footy. You know, you go through them tough patches where things just aren't quite going your way, and you just need to just keep turning up. And, that's what we need to do now. We're not obviously sitting where we want the ladder, so we need to find something on the team now and try and really turn this tie together. And, it's going to be a bit up in the air this week. Obviously, a couple key losses with the big boys, but... we just have to find something.
We just had Craig Bellamy on. He was telling us about, the loss of Cooper Cronk and how they probably didn't appreciate all the things that were going to come their way this year, given the fact that he wasn't going to be part of their makeup. It looks to me like you're really missing James Maloney at the moment and what he brings in relation to, especially, with the footy and defensively, he sort of, I don't know, he's got that sort of demeanour that, and he's such a competitor. It just looks like maybe you haven't taken into consideration all the things that he actually brought to the footy side.
Yeah, we are missing him. He was a key to our team for for a long time there, and a key to our success. And he's a creative ball player. He always threatens the line with a run, and he produces all these other options, whether it's a kick or a pass. He's a great player, and not saying that we don't have, we're missing him just at the moment because we just haven't found our feet with our combinations. And there's been a few changes due to injury, and like I said before, we're just going through that tough patch where things aren't quite coming off for us, and we're all working hard at training, and we're just not quite there at the moment. And obviously, that's compounded again this week. We've probably a couple of boys missing again, but we just got to keep turning up, keep working hard, and hopefully that ball will bounce our way, and then we can get that momentum, and then we can finally start to click. We just really haven't settled as a team yet.
Where do you think it's going to fall, Wade? Like in that spine. So Hodgkinson and Townsend are in there at the moment. Matty Moylan's obviously at the back, but you've got Josh, and you've also obviously got Val. How do you think it's all going to fall?
Yeah, it's a tough one at the moment. Obviously we're not winning games, so it puts pressure on those combinations. But it's hard. There's going to be some more changes this week, so it's going to be hard to change that again. It's just one of those. I don't want to keep repeating myself. It's just one of those patches you're going for. The team's just not quite settled, and everyone's working hard. It's just not quite there at the moment. And the only way we can fix that is to keep turning up the training, keep putting in the work, and then. Keep trying our butts off on the field to try and turn the tide and turn that momentum, because once you do, it does become easy, it does become better, and the cohesion flows from that, from the obviously the confidence of playing together and getting the result.
Trent Hodgkinson and obviously Chad Townsend, similar sort of players. I know you played a bit of 5'8". If the coach wanted you to go back there, would you be able to go back there?
Well, I'll play anywhere that kind of asks me, whether it's, you know, obviously Gale and Fafita, there's a lot of experience missing in the middle, so, you know, that could be an option. But Plano's got a couple of decisions to make this week, and, you know, fortunately for us, we do have a longer turnaround. It's a Friday to a Sunday game, so we've got the weekend to, you know, get all these injuries sorted and to find out exactly where we stand, and then we can, you know, hit the start button on Monday and really look forward to turning these results around.
Well, it is a tough one, and you can't blame the halves. Obviously, your forwards haven't played as well as you would have liked to consistently, but also he's got a tough one because his son, Cole Flanagan, who's played with my young bloke, Tristan,
is he injured at the moment?
He's a pretty classy player, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a good player. He was injured. He broke his thumb, unfortunately, in the end of the trials, but he's back now. He's played a couple of games for Newtown, so he's really pushing. And you know, fortunately for us, we have had a bit of success in the 20s the last couple of years.
Yeah,
so there are a few kids there ready, pretty much ready to go. So we had young Sione Katoa early in the year who broke his jaw in the first game.
Classy.
You know, there's a couple of younger guys there really, really pushing and knocking on the door. So over the next month or so, with these key injuries, we might see a few of them boys come through, and you know that could be the energy we need.
You, of course, deservedly own a blue jersey. There are a hell of a lot of back rowers suddenly put their hand up, including some who were wearing red and white last night. What'd you make of them?
Yeah, they're playing great. Dragons right across the board are playing great, and you know, when your whole team's going well, it certainly makes your job easier, and all them boys are putting their hand up. So you know, but it starts now over the next month and heading into the end of May, you really start to dial in, and you need your form to be on point there to put your hand up for selection. But, you know, for myself, we've got big issues to worry about Cronulla at the moment to try and get some wins, and, you know, we'll start dialing in, worrying about that stuff in a few more weeks.
All right. And Gal obviously is going to put the kick away. He's done about two in his 300-odd career and ended up busted.
Of all the things he's done, all the hit-ups and the defence that he's done, he hurts himself putting a kick in. Unbelievable.
He said he was down the park with his young fella practicing his kick, so he had sort of a brain snap there. He thought he was still down the park.
100%.
I love it.
Good luck today, Wade.
Yeah, thanks so much. Good luck with the scan and for all the other boys too. Lovely to join us. Thanks, buddy.
Cheers, boys. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, they've got some big decisions to make, haven't they? Not just for the injuries, but who plays? Look, I believe that Matty Moreland needs to move back into the six. They had a guy that played in the centres the last couple of weeks, Ramian.
Yep.
Did a fantastic job. Probably one of their better players in what's been a tough period for him. He can come back in. You put Dugan back to fullback. I just think that they need someone that's going to really dig into the line. That's what Maloney did really well and still does well. But at the moment, they're playing well before the defensive line. They're not really threatening a lot with the football. They've obviously, you know, they're going to miss obviously these forwards and the platform that they were given last night. It's not probably going to be there moving forward, but they need to get that spine right because at the moment
Fecky is a player that consistently has been one of their best. You know, Edric Lee did a good job last night, but I've got to say, should have scored at the end there. It's a great tackle by Ewan Aitken, but geez.
What more could he do?
He's a winger, mate. You've got to score those tries, mate. He had the run on him. But I suppose that's the confidence of when you're winning, you're making those extra efforts.
Yeah, all right. Next, we've got an odds update from UBet's Jared Daffy. Stick around. Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you this afternoon, all heading towards kickoff. What should be a terrific game of footy. The Warriors undefeated so far alongside the Dragons up against the Broncos.
Gee, they ripped into that haircut, Tony, didn't they?
My haircut.
Hey,
I knew this was coming.
No, well, I mean, I just can't stop looking at it. Is that a one? Did you get that done at the TAFE?
Where'd you get it done?
What do you mean the TAFE? No, this is an experience.
Did they do the colour and the cut at the same time?
No. Wow. When you veer away from the truth, the whole argument falls over.
You love lying.
No, I do love lying.
You love embellishing.
I like to lie. If I'm going to be caught out doing something, then I'll lie. And I think that's the way, kids, that's what you should do. But when you're talking to me, I'll accept a bad haircut.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was a bad haircut.
You said, are you happy with it? When you say, haircut, Tony, are you happy with it?
Yeah, are you?
Yes, I am happy with it.
Oh, you can't. You couldn't be.
Are you? Yeah, see? See?
It's awful.
Is your wife happy with it?
She loves it. She's got
Next
a
time, tell her to do it with her eyes open.
The haircut. You bet. Your home for NRL betting in 2018. Head to youbet.com or download the YouBet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. Jared Daffy joins us. G'day, Daff.
Talking about haircuts.
Yeah. How are you, big man? What about this game, the Warriors and the Broncos? They've got a pretty good record, the Warriors, in New Zealand.
Are they the real deal? Well, I guess we might find out today. All they can do is win like your boys, and they've been able to do that so far, and they've been a huge go in a good betting game, $1.55 into $1.45. The Bronx out to $2.85. Handicap there, 6.5 points. Looks like there might be bad weather on the way, boys, because pretty low total there, 34.5, and they've gone with the under.
Well, they're coming for them in today's game, Daff, but what about in general? What about for the premiership market? I'd imagine their odds have come in, but is there anyone out there that's, you know, rolling the dice on the Warriors?
Well, not at the moment, Gerge. We've had a major change since the Roosters were beaten the other night. The Dragons are actually favourites. 550, 650 the Roosters, 7 Storm, 8 Cowboys. We've got the Warriors at $9. Realistically, they should be half that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People can't get it out of their minds. It's the Warriors. But I keep saying they've got a new motor this side, and there's no reason at all why they can't win it in the form that they're in currently.
What about the try scorers? Come on, this is my favourite part. Fusatua's been on fire. Mamalo, Corey Oates. Who's the favourite here? Tuivasa-Sheck? Give me something.
We might as well got you to do the market, Wendell, because you picked them all.
Yeah, that's my job.
Fusatua, the favourite there at $8, and you know he's a guy in form. So he's been clearly the best back. Mamalo at $9. Corey Oates, the favourite way, or the shortest way of the Broncos players at $9, and we've mentioned before, they just love him, but he hasn't had much success this season, but he's the shortest way for the Broncos at $9.
Hey, Daff, this is a question without notice completely. I'm Australia's most hated man. I think Winks is going to get beaten today. What are your thoughts?
Oh, big call.
Look, I tell you, today might be the day because the critics have been saying hard track, suited on the fence, you've got to be up near the lead. Mm. So for that very reason, she's $1.16, which... probably sounds short,
blown
but I've been picking up money on the ground. I'll tell you one thing about, I know I've mentioned this before, with UBet, there are hundreds and hundreds of bets, fixed odds, of $1 on it to win. So they're only going to win 16 cents. They're not doing that for the reason for that, because if she equals Black Caviar's record today, it's part of history, 25 wins. So I think that's what people are doing. Put the bet on, hang on to the ticket. In 20 years' time, they can say, look, I backed the champ.
I love it. Jared Duffy, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much. You Bet, your home for NRL season 2018. Download the You Bet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly.
I wonder if you do that, you put a little bit on, you hold on for 10 years, and then you come on hard times. Can you still collect?
Of course you can.
Yeah?
It's got to be a valid ticket. I'm just saying that. I don't know the real answer. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. You stick around with us because we're next. We are going to be joined by Paul Vaughan. We'll also get to hoops out at the track with Winks going for the record 25. Sterlo joins us a little later, of course, all heading towards that call. The Warriors taking on the Broncos on Saturday Triple M NRL.